Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Jonas Siegel of The Athletic. And Jonas, I'm sure you've been very busy. How many words have you already written on the Maple Leafs offseason so far?
Too many. Like, my head is spinning today. You were in studio all day yesterday, so I'm sure you're kind of feeling the same. Like, I'm just like, I can't believe so much happened. Like, it was there were so many signings that you had to, like, even today kind of look through. It's like, oh, that guy signed. Oh, wow, look at that contract. You know what I mean?
It's wild, man. Like, I was in there at the epicenter of free agent frenzy, you know, like, right in there. And every 15 or 20 minutes are guys, you know, that walk around and hand you a new sheet with all the signings that have been updated. Like, that's how quickly it's coming. And even today, I'm looking over some. I'm like, I didn't know that guy signed.
Yeah.
I had no idea that guy went there. Like, I think this morning, I'm like, oh, yeah, Braden Holtby was in Dallas.
Yeah.
Like,
and they got Ryan Suter.
Ryan Suter goes there. Big name. Still got a big contract. And it was as if that was, like, completely non-existent, you know, because there's so many other big things going on. It was a really crazy 24 hours. It was fun, you know, and the offseason continues. There's going to be more action. Brandon Saad signing today in St. Louis. And Corey Perry, 2 years for $1 million down at Tampa. So, like, Tampa just continues to pull in people. Like, Bogosian goes down there, gets 3 years at
$850. Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, give him a little bit of term. I think those guys will play fine. Perry will be on your fourth line, Bogosian on your third pairing. If they're not playing for you, you can bury the contract. Doesn't count against the cap. Tampa is just such a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Such a well-oiled machine. But what was your general tone on the Maple Leafs? Because I can imagine what it was. I'm assuming it was consistent with everyone else on Earth. But where did you come away? How did you come away feeling, and what have you been writing about the Maple Leafs the last 24 hours?
So I heard you guys yesterday, and I think you hit on, like, a really important theme, and that's kind of the darkness that's around the team right now. And so I've spent today, like, last night I thought a lot about what they did, and this morning again. And I've started to wonder, like, am I too much in the bubble of what's gone on here and all the darkness and the negativity that kind of surrounds the team? And am I not being fair to what their team is? You know what I mean? Like, if you zoom out, they got a good team. Do they have the best team in the league? No. Do they have a really good team? Like, their top four guys, top two lines up front, the top of their D, it's pretty good. So, like, part of me is, like, looking at it like that and saying, well, they still have a good team. And yet you look at what they've lost and where they are today, and it's hard to think they're not worse than they were before. And then another part of me, Hayes, is like, well, it doesn't really matter how you start the season. Like, they can make a trade at the deadline and they can get player X. So that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I think they have taken a little bit of a step back. But I don't know what they could really do.
No, they really had their hands tied because of their commitments.
And that's their choice, right?
And that's their choice.
Yeah.
And that's, they've made that decision. Dubas and Shanahan have come up with this philosophy that they're going to be committed to a certain amount of players, and everything else they're just going to have to figure out. You know, and there's going to be some wins that they find that maybe you weren't expecting. Like, maybe Michael Bunting is a win.
I like him.
Maybe he is. He's saying all the right things. I'm not willing to commit to that, but maybe he is.
Yeah.
Maybe he plays up your lineup and he gives you 15 goals and you're like, you know what? It's a good piece. At cheap. Like, that very well could be the case. We're not there yet. The problem with getting there is, who is he replacing Zach Hyman, who everyone loves?
Yep.
And why is Zach Hyman not here anymore? Well, because Matthews, Marner, Tavares, not so much Willie, but a little bit Willie, they had to get paid, so Zach can't stick around. You know, is that fair, unfair? You can describe it whichever way you want. I think that's the general feeling among the fan base. You know, anyone that goes, it's like, well, that guy couldn't stay because these guys had to be here. And the last time we saw them play, Matthews and Marner in particular, didn't pull their weight. Nowhere close to 11-6 and 10-9. Nowhere close. And that is where the jaded cynicism comes into play. But I think you are right, and I think by the time we get to the starting line of next season, the emotions are going to kind of fade a little bit, and the perspective will probably come into view here, and you'll be like, okay, they're a good team. I think they're still a good team. I still think they're a playoff team. But when you haven't won a playoff round in 17 years and you feel like you're worse today than you were 2 months ago, that makes it difficult to chew on. And I think the Leafs are probably feeling that. Dubas wasn't overly, rosy yesterday. Like,
no,
Kyle
not.
Dubas does not look like a guy who's having a lot of fun. And I think he knows that he's taken a lot of licks. His team has taken a lot of licks. And there couldn't be more pressure on a GM than Kyle Dubas. Like, I can't remember the last time we were in this position with a GM in this city. The one, like, the next 12 months for Kyle Dubas might be the most pressure-packed of any GM in the last 15 or 20 years. Leafs, Raptors, Jays, whatever. I'm sure people could write in and tell us other examples, but I think you'd be far-fetched to find someone that finds themselves in the same position that Dubas does right now.
Well, and that's how you kind of came out of the day feeling like this only kind of ups the pressure more, because you could see this is what they can do, and it's kind of like
they can do.
Yep. Right, and it's kind of like Well, and I thought you hit another important point yesterday. Look at you yesterday, just nailing everything.
Thank you, Jonas.
I think you hit a good point when you said, like, they've kind of lost the benefit of the doubt, and I don't know that that's, like, it's fair to some degree. Like, they didn't win. Like, they didn't get to the playoffs. It's not totally fair, but the front office has lost that, oh, yeah, this should work. Now it's kind of like, yeah, I'm not going to really believe that that's going to work until I see it.
Yeah, exactly, which I think
is
human
nature. Fair. Yeah.
I think that's completely fair.
Yeah.
And I think it's allowed to change with time.
Mm-hmm.
Fans don't have to make up their minds today for how they're going to be feeling 12 months from now. It's not the way it works. Look at Montreal. I said this 25 times, if I said it one time. No one hated the Habs roster more the night before game one than Montreal Canadian fans. They hated that team. Hated Bergevin, hated Ducharme, wanted nothing to do with anyone. And then all of a sudden they're in a cup final. It's like, no, I love these guys. I always have.
And he wins GM of the year.
Exactly. It's like, no, wait a minute. Let's just
pull. Oh, no, he didn't actually.
He didn't. Lou won it, but he was in contention for it, Bergevin, and there was a push for it. The point being is you're always allowed to change your mind, and, that's the nature of the beast. And I think if you're the Maple Leafs right now, you just got to get through the offseason, chip away. They're going to add some more. They're going to add some more and get to opening night, start playing, start winning, and then I think people will settle in. You'll settle
into
the season.
Sort of, right?
Like, to an extent, with the precursor.
It's going to be, but.
We got to wait until we see the playoffs, of course.
The whole year.
Yeah, of course. And you got to get to the playoffs. It's not a guarantee. You're back in with Tampa, Boston, Florida, the Habs. Like, you're fighting for position. You got to get off to a good start. There's a lot of things that have to fall into place for that to happen. But I also think what has changed here is the shine is off the three kids who are not kids anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean individually you don't look at those guys, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and say, I still maybe love them as players, still love that they're Leafs. But it was such a storybook being written. And maybe it plays out that way at the end. And if you're a Maple Leaf fan, you certainly hope. And that's the way movie scripts work. You go up and down, and then in the end, if there's triumph, it's all good. It's nothing but positive in the end. Yes, you took your lumps, but hey, it will be well worth it if they break through and win. But when they first got here, Matthews scores four opening night. You were in the building, I believe, in Ottawa, Jonas.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't? Okay.
No,
so
yeah.
I was lucky enough to be in the building when Matthews scored four. I remember walking away from that game. We did the post game, and then we did our own show the next day, and I said, as good as Matthews was, Marner was as good.
Mm-hmm.
He was unbelievable that first night in Ottawa. And Nylander had come up the year before, and Hyman's there, and Brown's there. The point I'm getting to is it was like, who cares about money? Who cares even about wins and losses? This is amazing that these kids are here in their Leafs. And it has changed over the last year and a half. In large part, it started with the contracts.
That was big.
That's where it started. And then the playoff failure. And all of a sudden, they're not just kids who love being Leafs. It's a business. And what are we here? And that's got to be concerning for Shanahan, maybe even more than Dubas, because Shanahan's all the way up to the top when it comes to marketing, when it comes to money, when it comes to ownership. And, you know, individually still, you know, great talents. You prefer that they're on this team. You love that they're on this team. I think they'll have great regular seasons. But the Matthews, Marner, Nylander reputation is not what it was 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, and what would scare me about that, Hayes, is not so much like the public perception, if I'm them. It's more that those guys don't get jaded with the situation and not enjoying the ride, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you hope they're motivated by this and it doesn't affect their disposition or their general attitudes or their viewpoints.
Well, and it's way harder today than it was 10 years ago with social media. Like, imagine, I can only imagine like the vitriol that they faced after the playoffs, which is crazy and not fair. Like, and that's an ill of social media. But imagine how that makes you now feel about your situation here. And, you know, like now people are kind of looking at you with this kind of skeptical eye. Like, it's that would kind of worry me a little bit. And I don't know what you do to combat that.
On top of that, two of your safety valves and safety nets in terms of in the room are gone now. Freddie Anderson, Zach Hyman.
Yeah.
They've been here since day one as well. Right? Like, and they're all very close.
But as Kyle Dubas told you guys yesterday, like, he kind of thinks I'm paraphrasing, that it's at the point now where it's their team. Like, they kind of need to take control of the room, whatever that means.
And it should have been a year ago or 2 years ago, really. You know, like,
they're younger than you think.
They're younger than you think, but how old is Braden Point? How old was Taves and Kane? How old was Sid in 09? You know, like,
but those
who
guys are
you?
Exceptions to the rule, are they not?
Okay, but who? But then what is the expectation? Who are you? Because, again, four or five years ago when they got here, it was like, Cup's coming, man. Cup's coming. These kids are going to do it. They're going to change everything. This was what people have been waiting for.
Yeah.
And could it turn out to be the Ovechkin Caps? Of course. Yeah, very well could be. And if that's the case, awesome. All of the past is completely irrelevant once you reach the top of the mountain. But were they going to be an exception to the rule? It felt that way 5 years in. Now they're no longer that because those guys all won by the time they hit this point in their careers. They weren't dealing with the same black clouds, the same question marks, you know, that these three are on this team is. It looks like Max Scherzer could be on his way to the San Diego Padres.
Wow.
That is what is starting to leak.
They're just big game hunting there all the time.
I give them credit, man, because they're a small market. They went out there and paid big money for Machado.
Yeah.
They obviously had Tatis within the organization, but they give him a monster deal. They went out and got Clevenger and others last year. Blake Snell they pick up in the offseason, and now they're like, we're in it. And here's the thing. They're not going to win the division.
No, it's San Fran or L.A.
It's Giants or the Dodgers. So they're all in for a wild card spot.
Love it.
And they're likely going to play like the Dodgers in the wild card game. You know, it's – anyway, we'll see. It's going to be – I like it, though. I like that the Dodgers or that the Padres realize what they have, what they've been invested in. They've been building towards this. Scherzer, and again, it's not official yet. This is Rosenthal and others saying that it appears to be getting close. Scherzer had been saying, I guess, through his reps or through the team, like he wanted to go to the West Coast. He wanted to go to one of those three teams, wanted to go to a winner. He's likely going to sign an extension there. I don't know how many years they'll give him. But that means they're locked in, man. They've got some great arms, some great talent. The Padres have just been one of those teams in baseball forever that just happened to be in the league, right? Like they
were so bad.
They were so bad for so long. They had Tony Gwynn and nothing else forever. And even between the Gwynn and this era, you know, they're just really
Ken Caminiti?
Yeah. They had Hoffman forever. Like, yeah, Hoffman would give you saves. It was like, awesome. What does it mean? You've won 68 games. He gave you saves in 45 of them.
But, Hayes, can I bring it back to the Leafs, connecting the two? Because what I like about that kind of move is it's like you just don't know what your window is. And that's what I think, to follow up on your point before, where it seems like, this team's going to win. Stuff happens, right? Like, and it can disappear faster than you think. And that's why every year – where you're not getting closer to that goal is a failure. And Taddy and I were talking yesterday, And he asked me, like, what would be a success for next year? And it's kind of like, well, I guess if they win around, that's a success, but not really. Like, if they're not winning
a
cup
anymore,
if they're not winning a cup, it's a failure. Like, no. There's only 3 years left on Matthews and Nylander's contract.
You're
same with Muzzin.
You're going into year four of Tavares, Jonas.
Right, and he's going to be 31 in the fall, I believe.
Yeah.
So,
like, John Tavares been here for 3 full seasons.
Yeah.
Like that, it when you take a step back, it is difficult to pin down what is a reasonable expectation. Like, again, you take context completely out of it, and you just ask the average person, if I told you this team has not won a playoff round in 17 years, would you be happy with them winning one round? I think that person, the average person, would say, yeah, that seems different. That'd be unique. That'd be wild. But then you add the context to it, and you're like, that seems a little bit of a low bar.
Yeah.
You know, when you were supposed to win a playoff round 3 years ago, and certainly supposed to beat Columbus, although I don't even know if that would have classified necessarily as a playoff win, definitely beat the Habs last year. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what the bar is and what it's going to be come the next playoff round. You know, and we won't cross that bridge until next April, I guess. But, yeah, it looks like Scherzer's on his way. The Jays have acquired an arm today. Yep, they bring in a lefty, a relief lefty, and they trade Riley Adams, who we saw, you know, a little bit earlier in the season. He's a catcher. They've got depth within the organization at that position, so it's not shocking. But Brad Hand is a guy that I think he can attack batters on both sides of the plate. You know, his numbers are okay. He's a relief pitcher, which is what they're looking for. I think it's reasonable to wonder if it's a little bit too little too late. Mm-hmm. Looking at his contract, there's no control moving forward. But it's a sign of what they are thinking here. Like, they're not selling off. I don't think that was ever within the cards. I know some people had been suggesting recently that maybe that was in the best interest of the club. But Simeon's not going anywhere. Ray's not going anywhere. They're going to, especially coming home tomorrow night, you know, like, they're home tomorrow night. That is important to the team, to the owners. They want to sell tickets. They want to create a buzz. I think they want to send a message to their young players that they're in. George Springer, who they just gave a big deal to. And you bring in a guy like Brad Hand, who is, you know, a reliever who can give you some innings and give you some production. You didn't pay a massive price for it. It signals we're still in it. Let's continue to kick away at the can here.
Well, and it signals to the team. Like, we're going to have Brett Boone on. I want to ask him about that situation in Seattle where they trade Kendall Graveman, and the team is, like, livid.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's sending, like, and
it's like, we're on. We're out.
Right? And then the GM kind of says, well, listen, there's a plan here. We're going to do more stuff. But this kind of sends the opposite message where it's like, all right, guys, like, we're going to try to fix the bullpen.
Yeah, which they have been chipping away at all year. Like, they have added a lot of arms. They've had a lot of injuries in the bullpen. But it has been the weakness of the team.
Yeah.
Like, it's indisputable. Everyone knows it. If you watch one game or you've watched 90, you know, you're well aware of what plagues this team. It is the bullpen arms. It's cost them way too many games this year. And they're back in action for game 4 of the series at Fenway tonight. They've dropped 2 of the first 3. Ryu on the mound tonight, and then back home against Kansas City tomorrow. So Brett Boone will join us, longtime MLB second baseman, the brother of Aaron Boone. They pick up Joey Gallo last night. So they've got him under control for this season and next season. I wouldn't be shocked if they worked out a long-term deal for him. So they bring in another power bat into the Yankee organization. We'll see what Brett Boone thinks about that, what he thinks about Brad Hand with the Jays, what he makes of Scherzer apparently going to the Padres, and what that means for the NL West and the race out there. So that, more coming up. The NBA draft is tonight. Our buddy Jack Armstrong will join us. It sounds as if the first 3 picks have been determined, right? Like, a number of NBA insiders tweeting out, Cade Cunningham's going first. We've known that for a long time. Detroit's going to take him. It sounds like Jalen Green is going to go second to Houston. Evan Mobley, the big, will go third to Cleveland. That's likely the way it's going to work out, 1, 2, 3.
Unless there's a trade.
Unless there's a trade. And
oh,
there's always a chance. But if there isn't, that means the Raptors stay at 4 if they decide to hold into that spot and not trade it. And you take Jalen Suggs, who is what, you know, that's what everyone in the world is expecting you to do. Or do you go off the board a little bit? You know, do you go
Scotty Barnes?
Scotty Barnes, Kuminga. someone else, a European player that maybe isn't getting a ton of attention?
Franz Wagner?
Maybe you get a little bit crazy. You know, who knows what they're going to do here, but Masai Ujiri is still employed, and he's going to have a big say in what they do tonight. So we'll tee up the NBA draft with Jack a little bit later on, and Brian Burke is on the show today, so we'll catch up with Brian Burke in just over an hour. We look forward to that. Our buddy Jason Strudwick later this afternoon, too. Jonas Siegel's in here from The Athletic. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Brett Boone will join us here in just a moment. We're looking forward to catching up with him. And he was a great second baseman. His brother Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees. The Yankees were active last night going after Joey Gallo. And belief was the Jays were, you know, sniffing around a little bit on Gallo. And obviously they decided not to pull the trigger on that. But they've acquired Brad Hand today for Riley Adams. And Hand is a left-handed reliever. He's coming in. Decent stats. You know, not out of this world. Not... certainly not a Kimbrel-esque acquisition for your bullpen, but better than what they currently have. Though I'm not sure that's saying much, really, with the Jays in their bullpen. But back in action for the fourth game of the series at Fenway tonight, and then they come home tomorrow night. Actually home in Toronto tomorrow night, which should be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I'm assuming all the tickets are sold. You know, like I was trying to find some information on that today. Like, I'd be shocked if there weren't tickets that have been sold at least through the weekend, if not beyond that. But we'll find out, I guess, as of tomorrow night. So here he is, former MLB-er. He's got a podcast out, the Boone Podcast. He was in the majors for a long time. Great to have him on. Here's Brett Boone. How you doing, Brett?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing very well. We love, you know, this time of year because there's a lot of activity going on in all sports, the NHL, the NBA, and certainly in baseball. A lot of trades taking place. The Jays picking up Brad Hand. Joey Gallo going to the Rangers. It sounds like Scherzer's going to the Padres. Can you remember these days as a player, as a content creator? Personally, I love it. What about as a player? Was it a little bit more uneasy, I'm thinking?
Well, it depends. You know, some years I was really disappointed this time of year because, you know, I was on a good ball club and I knew we needed one piece. And, you know, there's only all you can do as a player is do your job every night, and you rely on management to take care of the piece you needed. Some years we got it done, some years we didn't. But as a fan now, and someone that just has an interest on what's going to happen here down the stretch, it's a pretty interesting time. These next 24 hours would be kind of crazy. You're seeing that it start to get going. You know, it's interesting to me. Scherzer pitching today. He pitched the first leg of the doubleheader. Dominated the Phillies. I think that was kind of to show everybody, hey, I'm healthy, I'm ready to go, because there's been some questions about that recently. Sounds like he wants to go to the West Coast, you know? And for me, that National League West is a class of baseball right now. Giants have been kind of a surprise this year, and the Dodgers and Padres, we knew about them. But that division's loaded. I think you're going to see both wild cards in the National League come from that division, along with the division winner. So three out of the five, I think, that start in the postseason and come that for that division. It seems like Scherzer wants to go there. You know, you hear Padres, who knows? Tomorrow afternoon, you might say, wow, and he went to the San Francisco Giants.
Right.
It's going to be whoever gets him. I was just talking to my dad about it. I said, whoever gets him, in my book, that World Series percentage goes up. So that's definitely the class of the trade deadline is Max Scherzer, the biggest difference maker. But there's a lot of guys out there right now that might have a different uniform on in 24 hours.
I want to get back to your earlier comments about when you'd be upset because you knew you were one player away and it didn't happen. So would you take that personally as a player? Like, would you hold bitterness against the GM? Would you be willing to talk to him the next day? Or were you just like, I can't even look at you right now? You knew you had to go get this guy and you didn't make it work.
Well, I felt that way, definitely. But I think as Major League Baseball players, there's a certain level you need to hold yourself to. And it bothers me a little bit when I see the players outspoken. Today, it's a different era, you know, with the social media and the Twitter and the Instagram. As players, we're paid. We sign a contract to play the game. They're paid to do their job, which acquire players when we need to get it. We're always going to have different opinions. There always can be a debate. Of course, I was upset some years. Like, how could you not go get what we needed? You know that one piece puts us over the edge. But as a player, I have a job to do, and those things are out of my control. So when I see players you know, coming public, yeah, you can say, oh, it's disappointing. But when I see the attacks on management and the back and forth, it does nobody any good. You got 25 guys in that room. Well, now 26 in the modern day game. But you have a job to do, and that's go to battle each and every night with your teammates, and it's always welcome when you get a big piece of the deadline. But it's something that's out of our control as players.
Well, so Brett, what did you make of the situation with your old team where they're starting to win, and then they trade Kendall Graveman, and the team, I guess, didn't love it? Like, are you okay with that sentiment from them?
Well, of course you can be disappointed. I saw Gonzalez. He's sporting a 5.5 ERA, and he's got a lot of big opinions. You might want to get that ERA down before you really are outspoken. You know, that kind of bothers me, stuff like that. You know, of course I had feelings like that. Of course we all have feelings, disappointment, but I think you remain a certain level of professionalism. You keep that stuff in-house. If you got a problem with your general manager, have a talk, but keep that in-house. That's how you start splintering off in an organization, and you got people going in different directions when the goal is to go in one direction. My assessment of that, yeah, because I keep an eye on the Seattle Mariners. You know, that's my home. That's where my biggest years were. So I always have one eye open, checking out, see how the Mariners were doing. I think they're exceeding expectations with the ball club they had this year. There's definitely some positives. They haven't been in the postseason in 20 years. I think that's the longest standing major sports franchise. So they're right there. I mean, Seattle, I think they're two out of the wild card right now. What it tells me is Jerry DePoto's looking at that team on a day-in, day-out basis, and is in his heart of hearts, he doesn't believe they have what it takes to get to the postseason, and if so, to go deep in the postseason. That's my read from that move. Graveman, from what I'm hearing, was a real popular player in that clubhouse. And to add a little insult to injury, not only did they trade him, but they traded him to the Houston Astros, who are atop that division, and have been a thorn in Seattle's side for years. So as a player right now, yeah, that's a little tough to swallow for me. The city of Seattle, the fans of Seattle, we're just starting to get excited again. That's a tough move, but business is business. And if that's how Jerry feels, who knows? You know, it might be the right decision. It might not. I think that's a real tough position to be in, Seattle management right now. As a general manager, you don't think this is the year. Yet you have this out, you know, all these outwardly pressures. And once again, it refers all the way back to that 20 years in a row you have not been in the postseason. I thought he was going to be a little bit more of the side of let's go for it this year.
We're chatting with Brett Boone, longtime MLBer. Check out the podcast, the Boone Podcast. Well, the Yankees and the Jays are in somewhat of a similar position as the Mariners. I mean, they're on the outside of the playoffs looking in. I think the division is likely gone for both teams. The Yankees are a few games out of a wild card spot. The Jays are 4.5 out, yet their GMs are deciding to go at it. You know, like the Yankees go out there and pick up Joey Gallo, who does have some term. They've got some control, team control on that contract, so it's not just going to be about the final stretch run here. Jays have picked up some arms in the bullpen, including Brad Hand earlier today. How do you feel about those two messages in particular, the Yankees and the Jays, where the front offices in both cities are saying we're not giving up on this season?
Well, the Blue Jays, for me, are an interesting group. What a bunch of young, talented kids. And finally, by the way, congratulations, you guys get to finally start playing in a big league stadium. What a talented group, this Blue Jay team. I don't think the Blue Jays have, especially with all the teams they'd have to kind of jump over to get that wild card spot. I don't know if this is their particular year, and I don't think it's really that realistic. I like the Hand acquisition. I think that really bolsters the bullpen. I think he's coming in with about a 3.5 ERA. Low salary he's making, so that's good for the Jays. I don't know if this is the particular year. There's too much to overcome, but I really like the Blue Jays moving forward, and I think they got a real bright future. I mean, that's pretty obvious to say with these, you know, with Vlad Jr. and Bichette and the pickup from Simeon. What a pickup from Oakland.
Right,
so I think your future is real bright there. Moving over to the Yankees, and as you know, it's a different animal where you're the New York Yankees. There's no accepting a rebuilding year or not going for it every year. I think the Yankees, you know, a lot of things had to go wrong for them to be in this position right now. You got Severino and Kluber coming back, who knows, in the next month to 6 weeks. That's imperative that they have that. You always have Gerrit Cole at the top of the rotation, you know, one of the best in the business. They got hit with the COVID thing. They were missing Judge and a couple of their relievers out of the bullpen. Urshela was down a little bit. Adding Gallo, you know, it adds that big bat. And for a dominantly right-handed lineup, he's going to fit well in the middle. Downside of that, he strikes out a lot. And that, you know, you put Stanton, Gallo, Odor, Sanchez, that's a lot of punch outs in the middle of the lineup. Right. I think it's a minor upgrade. I think they need another player. Marte went to the Oakland A's. I thought the Yankees were going to be on him since Aaron Hicks went down. They really need to fill that void in center field. Gardner's doing a good job, but he's 37 years old, and he's supposed to be the fourth and fifth outfielders playing every day. Yankees, they're going to be interesting. Severino's a key. Voit's missed a lot of time. He's coming back. LeMahieu's starting to swing it. Judge, Yankees are never out of it, but it's going to be a tough road to home.
Well, Brett, you mentioned like the NL West is kind of what you think is maybe the class of the National League. Who's like your team to beat in the American League? Is it Boston? Is it Chicago? Is it someone else? Tampa?
I'm not sold on Boston's pitching. I don't think so. Yeah. I think it's the White Sox. I think Keuchel and Giolito were the headliners going into the season. They pitch well. They're starting to pitch better now. But the real heroes of the first half of the White Sox has been Rodon and Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn's having a Cy Young caliber year, and he's been anchoring that rotation. Giolito's starting to pitch better, and Keuchel is a consummate pro. They've had a lot of injuries over there. Madrigal, their rookie second baseman, doing a great job. He's out. They went out and got Hernandez now to fill the void at second base from Cleveland. But the key is Jimenez is coming back, and their center fielder Robert's going to be back for the second half. And you've got the perennial MVPs in Anderson at short, and I'm trying to think, help me out, the first baseman, Abreu. So yeah. I think that's the best team for me. Houston's close, but for me right now, I look up and down. Pitching to offense, I say the White Sox are the class in the American League right now as we speak, but who knows in 24 hours.
Well, that's it, right? There's going to be a lot of movement here in the next 24 hours for sure, and then a lot of ball games still to be played. Check out the Boone podcast. He is longtime MLB-er Brett Boone. You can find him on Twitter at TheBoone29 as well. It's always great to have you on, man. It's been awesome. We'll have to do it again down the road, and enjoy the rest of the season.
Thank you, guys. You got it.
You got it. There he is, Brett Boone. Aaron Boone's older brother. Aaron Boone, of course, the manager down in New York. Which, that wasn't like a glowing appraisal of the Gallo acquisition. You know, it's an upgrade, but he's like, they need more than that. And he's right. They strike out a ton.
Well, their whole lineup is all guys like that.
Yeah, they're just trying to mash.
Just masher after masher.
Yep. But that's like baseball now in a lot of ways.
Yes. That's like the goon squad.
Yeah, it is extreme. Like the Yankees, that is extreme.
Like every guy is like 6'6", like Voit, Judge, Stanton, yep. Like they're all humongous.
Yeah, LeMahieu is.
Yeah, like, he's like 6'4".
They're all big dudes, man. They are. And there's a lot of injuries that run through that. You know, big bodies that get banged up. And he is not the first one we've talked to, though, that has not trusted and does not trust the Red Sox rotation.
I told you a couple weeks ago, Hayes, like the analytics community is not on board, I don't think.
With the Red Sox rotation?
I think they've won more.
Yet they do it.
The record is better than what it should be.
Yeah.
I know you love, like, I don't love that stuff either, but.
No, but that's valid. I mean, there are different statistics you can look at. There are different, parts of the game where you're like, how did they find a way to pull that off?
Yeah.
And listen, they've also been incredibly healthy. That said, on top of all that, Chris Sale is going to return here. So if Sale's back and he's anywhere close to where he was a couple of years ago.
It's been
a couple of years. He hasn't pitched in a couple of years. He's coming off Tommy John. This is going to be an adjustment for him. But there was a time before that where he was the most dominant arm in baseball.
Yeah.
Like he had a 2-3 year stretch there where he was, if not the most dominant arm, he was a top five starter in baseball. Absolutely undisputed.
Yeah.
So if you get him back, I don't know, is he still going to be on an innings limit? I would assume he probably would be. but you're getting him back halfway through the season, even beyond the halfway mark. So, yeah, you solidify your bullpen, and you ask to get five out of him until you get to the playoffs, and then maybe you can expand it and open it up a little bit more. That could go a long way for them. But ultimately, the wins are what they are, and the Red Sox have them. And they're back in action against the Jays tonight, and then the Jays come home tomorrow night. NBA draft tonight. We all know Ben Simmons is on the market. We heard about the reported offer from Philly to send him to Toronto. That included Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, the fourth overall pick, like multiple picks in the future, pick swaps. Naturally, it got turned down because no one knows what the hell Philly thinks they're doing here. There is a second offer apparently out, this one featuring the Golden State Warriors, that has also been declined. We will tell you about that. We'll get into the conversation, what the Raptors might end up doing tonight. Jason Strudwick still to come. Brian Burke still to come. Trey Wingo coming up talking NFL. We'll get back into the Aaron Rodgers presser from yesterday. And our buddy Jack Armstrong still to come as well with the NBA draft going tonight. Jonas Siegel in studio. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. It seems like there's going to be some big names. There always are. Simmons, though, we know you can have him if you're willing to pay an exorbitant price. I think Damian Lillard will get there at some point. You know, might want to move on. Bradley Beal is a guy that I believe is kind of assessing the situation, which I always find interesting and incredibly unique to the NBA. Guys who are under contract and they're going to figure out whether or not they want to play there next year. It's like, you're not a free agent. You can't just leave. You can just walk in.
Difficult, though, Hayes.
You can make things very difficult. Yes, you can.
James Harden.
James Harden is the epitome of that, but that is such a uniquely NBA. Look at Aaron Rodgers. He was trying as hard as he could. And what does he do? He's there day one of camp, and he'll be playing, and I guess the language on that deal is being reworked right now, and that's as far as he can go. Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, we'll let you know. And if I want out, you better trade me. And guess what? You're probably going to have to because that's the way it works right now. But Simmons is available. And there was a report recently that Daryl Morey, their president of basketball operations, called up Masai and Bobby Webster and said, you can have them for Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, the fourth overall pick, future picks, pick swaps. And Masai basically just hung up the phone and said, are you nuts? Not going to happen. Now, according to a report out of Philly, Keith Pompey, who's a Sixers beat guy, reporting that the Sixers are asking for the Warriors to give up Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman, the 7th pick in this draft, the 14th pick in this draft, and 2 future first-round picks in a trade for Ben Simmons.
I don't believe that.
You don't believe Philly would have the audacity to ask for that?
Why would Philly want that? What does that do for Philly?
Well,
Wiggins and Wiseman and a bunch of picks? That doesn't help me.
It may not help you right now, but what I would say is, why don't sleep on Wiseman.
They have Embiid.
They do have Embiid.
They don't need Wiseman.
They have Embiid, who is a constant Band-Aid, and maybe the idea is to flip Wiseman.
That's
nonsense. Maybe you bring up Wiseman. But look at what they're asking for, though. This is a guy who did not shoot.
Yeah, but okay? He's awesome, man. Like, this is – if there's ever a time – this is like – poster boy for buy low. This is there. You'll never get a guy.
But you're not buying low if this is the price tag, though, Jonas.
But that's what you have to do if you're Philly is say like we want the world, mm-hmm. And then what's that saying, Hayes? Like you reach for the stars or you reach for the moon, you get the stars. Is mm-hmm. that the saying?
That sounds about right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So you say you want the moon, and then you just get a star, and you're just like, eh.
Well. Listen, Wiggins actually had a pretty good year last year, but it's disappointing that his career has got to this point where he's just a contract that flips around. You know, like it's been determined he's not an impact guy.
He's not a winning guy.
He's not a winning guy. He's not a guy you build around. He's just a contract that's going to float around. That's what he is. But don't sleep on Wiseman. Although there are 2 schools of thought. You know, I've heard and read some people that just not believers. I've heard and read others that believe this guy's the next Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. That's how good he is, and that's how good he's going to be. He's just young. He hasn't played enough recently because of COVID and everything. And, you know, the 7th, the 14th, 2 future firsts. Like, so 4 first-rounders, last year's second overall pick, and a decent player in Wiggins for Simmons. Like, I will say it is almost impossible to wrap your head around NBA trades. Like, it's –
The amount of picks, Hayes? Like, we crazy. Don't get any of that in the NHL, really.
No, you don't. And it's because of an understanded truth that you need superstars to win. And if you have one of them, and there's like 15 in the league, then you're going to win. You know, like, you're going to put yourself in a position to win. And if you don't have any of them, you can't win. So that's why you get these deals.
And who cares about the 28th pick, right?
Like, and that's it. It's like, go ahead, take this, that, the other. For Paul George, we'll give you 5 first. We'll give you 5 flips. We'll do, like, it's like, whatever. We have PG. We got Kawhi. Now we're the Clippers, and we think we can win. Hasn't happened yet. The same thought process in Brooklyn. I don't value Ben Simmons that way. Like, I cannot overlook the shooting yips. Listen, the makeup, the tools are all NBA. But he has the yips. Like, he cannot shoot. He will not shoot.
It's not that he cannot shoot. It's that he doesn't shoot.
Well, he cannot shoot. Like,
I don't think that's true. He doesn't shoot.
How would you know when he doesn't shoot?
How would you know if he can or can't shoot? Threes, and, like, he can shoot. And I've watched him shoot. Like, when you watch him shoot free throws, he's, like, it's gotten bad again. But, like, there was, like, a 60-something-ish percent shooter in there. Like, he's not.
How many total three-pointers has he hit in his career?
It's under 5, for sure.
I think the number is actually, I'm just looking it up. It is 5 on the number.
Yeah.
This is a guy who has now been in the league for 4 years, four complete years. The ball goes through him basically on every possession. He's hit 5 three-pointers.
Yeah, but so if I can convince him to start shooting, or just, like, you know what he's so good at, Hayes, is, like, attacking the basket in transition. He's impossible to stop. He's, like, 6'10", and he's monstrous. Like,
yeah, but even that, he doesn't attack the rim, though, Jonas.
He didn't last at the end of last year. In past seasons, he did. And he looked, like, really interesting when Embiid was not playing. He looked interesting. Like, I get why the Raptors, if they are actually interested, I get why they would be interested, because, like, this is, like, I've always thought, like, he's not Giannis, but, like, you could build the same sort of infrastructure around him where he can just put shooters around him and let him go to work.
Well, I think I understand the appeal as well. I think the idea of molding a player who's been in the league for 4 years that you might have to pay such a premium for would be concerning to me. Very unsettling. You know, like, this guy comes with his own coach who has to teach him mechanics at the NBA level.
You just have to get him to believe, to start be willing
That's
to shoot.
That's even scarier. Mechanics, yeah, I'll take a guy who will sit in the gym and shoot all and be like, listen, I'm going to jack 40 shots tonight. I may only hit 5 of them. And it's like, okay, we're going to go from you hitting 5 to 10 to 15 to 20, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're Kobe. To a guy who is like, I can't shoot. And I won't shoot, and I'm not going up, even though I've got an opportunity to do it. Like, that is, like, you need, like, a seance with him. Like, you need, like, a witch, you know, to jinx him into shooting, into thinking differently. That scares me, man. That scares me. And I think the Raptors would be definitely lurking, and I'm sure other teams are lurking, because they're thinking, that's worth a shot if we're buying low. But Philly is claiming that you have to buy high. And that's where it just doesn't make sense for me.
But that's what you do in negotiations.
Of course. There's nothing wrong with that. But if they really want to flip them, they have to come down.
And they will, I would think. But you know what, Hayes? Like, is there a better development team in the NBA than Toronto?
But you're not developing him.
What are you doing?
If you're paying Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, the 4th overall pick. This guy's got to come in and be the next Kawhi. You're not sending him to the Raptors 905, Jonas. Like, you're not sitting there saying, go play in Mississauga for 2 years. Like,
you can develop and still play and win.
You can develop to an extent. You can certainly help a player grow. But I don't know about in this area. Like, to the point, how many players in history have you seen like Ben Simmons?
None, like zero.
Exactly.
But I think we focus, and I understandably after last year, but you focus so much on the thing he can't do, which is a big thing. But, like,
it's only shooting the ball. Outside of that, it's not rebounding. It's not even free throws. Like, I can live with a guy who shoots even 50% of the free throw line.
Did you watch the finals? The guy who couldn't shoot free throws?
Yeah, Giannis,
suddenly learned to shoot free throws?
No issue. Yeah, by the end of it, He was a monster at the free throw line. And I would assume next year he probably reverts back to having issues. But there is a big difference between shooting percentage and shooting totals, Jonas.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. Well, like, listen, the talent is through the roof. The appeal is very obvious. The size, the defense, like the way he defends is off the charts.
All five positions.
You can run everything through him. Listen, I wouldn't be shocked if the Raptors found a way to acquire him. I'm just saying I wouldn't pay a huge premium for it, and I would be nervous that you're not going to be able to fix what Philly cannot fix. And that's why Philly might be trying to flip him. Hour 2 coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.